You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's hour two of Sportsnet Today. Logan Gordon along with you with my outstanding great producers.
Yeah, who's saying very nice things about me right now off
best
air.
Best producers.
Super nice things.
Ever asked for. Shad and Cam, just the best guys ever. What would I do without them?
Who knows?
We're in the Doug Lacy's Basement Systems downtown studios. For Doug Lacy's Basement Systems, worried about radon? They install custom mitigation systems to reduce your risk. Find out more. Visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate. Hour one in the books with no Flames hockey, at least not even on the practice ice until Thursday. Chatted all things news from the NHL GM meetings in Florida, including Gary Bettman's resistance to give up on Arizona. And also chat with our pal David Amber about some of the biggest storylines in hockey right now. All that available for you on the Hour One podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. We'd love to have you along for the ride. We're kicking off Hour Two by going down the Atlas Peach and Sports Bar guest hotline, welcoming in our pal, host of the Fan pregame show on Sportsnet, the one and only Ailish Forfar joins us this afternoon. Ailish, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys? I'm good.
We're good. Despite all the terrible things Justin said about you on the show yesterday, we decided to bring you back on and ignore his
God.
That he said. So,
yeah, my week is not complete if we don't chat, so don't listen to anything he has to say, all right?
He said that you've got bins of vintage Jays gear getting ready for Toonie Dog Tuesdays to come back.
Well, that actually is accurate. So yeah. he was right about that. I can't wait. Actually, you know what? I think I flew too close to the sun. I was like the first major spokesperson of Loony Dog Tuesdays. And it became overwhelming where every time there was a Loony Dogs Tuesday, people expected me to go and eat 10 hot dogs. And I had to say, guys, like, I did it once. I can't do it every time. Like, it's unhealthy. It's not for me. So I will be a supporter, but I just can't partake in every single one of them. There's like 12 or something this year. So I'm a big fan of it. I think it's a hilarious fun. I wear my hot dog costume to the stadium, but I can't do 10 again. It ruined me for weeks.
We've got to think of the long game here, Ailish. We can't just can't handle this one at a time. We're going to think of the long game. It's a long season, right?
Yes.
You can't go crazy on night one, but maybe we'll do an Ailish hot dog counter on the show as the season goes on and just kind of see how the pace goes. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Well, are you getting excited for, I asked Justin about this and, you know, he was cool, calm, and collected, but excited for baseball to be around the corner here. I know the Jays aren't actually in Toronto for a couple weeks, which kind of sucks, but opening day is right around the corner.
I actually am. Like, I've come to really like baseball more, I think, from working here at Sportsnet. It's obviously part of our big coverage, but it wasn't something I really got into so much growing up. I would spend my summers, like, training or going to hockey camps, and we didn't come down to the ballpark much. But ever since I went away to university and then came back to live in Toronto, it's such a good social scene. The tickets are usually so cheap. You can go with friends. And if the weather's nice, like, there's few things other than golfing that I'd want to do on a beautiful, you know, Saturday in the summer. So, like, just in terms of just having something, I live right down the street from the Rogers Centre. Like, I'm excited for that part of it. And, yeah, I think we're kind of in, like, a bit of a dull period with just NHL, like, crawling to the finish line. Same with NBA. Like, we need some spice, and the Blue Jays will provide that. Thank God we have March Madness too. But yeah, it kind of feels like you're in a little bit of that. All right, well, the Leafs are either going to play this team or this team, and there's a couple playoff battles, but they're not really necessarily our lead story. So Jays being about 9 days away, or 8 days away, will be awesome, honestly. And expectations for this team are still undetermined. I think I think that, you know, they should be a playoff team. I really wonder about Joey Votto, and I thought Vogelback today hitting homers. Like, it's going to be very interesting to see how they construct this team and what takes priority and pitching injuries already. Like, it'll just be nice to have meaningful baseball, even though it's such a long season. Just the excitement of seeing it back on the TV and us getting to talk about it every day. I am pretty excited for it. And, you know, vintage Jays fits. Those those deliver. So it's important for me too.
Yeah, looking forward to those, of course. You were busy since we talked to you last time. How was it on the Sportsnet broadcast? You're right between the benches, right, for Ottawa and Boston in Detroit?
I was, and I have never done that before. So quite the whirlwind. Like, you know, we've hosted this show live every day, but you're in a bit of a relaxed studio setting. You know what you're going to say, you know, you know when the guests are coming, you know the time of the show, and everything is pretty, you know, set for you. So being between the benches in a live hockey broadcast was pretty hectic, but honestly, I really loved it. I thought it was so challenging, and sometimes it's nice to try new things in your career too, because not that you get stagnant, but you get good at something and then you get humbled by how hard other things are. And I think I felt that on Saturday night, but in a good way. It was really exciting. I was right between Ottawa and Boston, who were fighting for playoff spots. They had three Michigan natives on the Boston team. They ended up winning in a shootout. And it was I've seen two different records set. I saw the Canadian attendance record set here at Scotiabank Arena a couple of weeks ago. And then I was in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena for the all-time American women's professional women's attendance record set. And just to be in both of those was awesome. Like, those things might not happen every week when we get into the swing of this league being, you know, as exciting as we hope it gets to, but to be at both of them, to be working that one, I've never been to Little Caesars Arena. It was stunning. It was a really, really awesome experience. And I would definitely do it again. I think you learn a lot. It's like a learn on the fly. It's like you throw you out the window and say, learn how to fly. And I definitely felt that, but super fun. Like, you know, it's just nice to get to try new things. So I was really appreciative of that. And I thought it went all right.
Biggest surprise, or maybe something that somebody wouldn't guess about being between the benches? What did you sort of pick up going through that experience?
Yeah, I would say I was, and this might sound kind of crazy, but you have almost over prepped at times. Like, I had all these things I thought, okay, this would be a really good storyline. This would be a really good nugget. I want to make sure I bring up this stat. I want to make sure that I set the stage properly for this. But when they throw to you, it's usually 10 to 20 seconds max, and you can almost be too prepared, right? Oh, I really want to get these things in. Oh, I'm running out of time. And honestly, I think the most important thing that I learned after, you know, I probably was on 10 to 12 times throughout the broadcast, was just set the stage. Like, be concise, be clear, be excited. And you don't need to inform the viewers on, you know, the blood type of the Boston head coach and, you know, what her little league team was called. You can do too much for a role like that, where you're really just supposed to be a quick pulse check, a quick beat of like, what's going on? What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What's the energy? So, but for the first time, I don't know, I was like preparing for days. Like, I had so many stats printed out and people's like NCAA careers in my hands. And at some point I just put it all down. I was like, this is too much. Like, I just want to give the audience what I'm seeing right now. That's why I'm standing in this spot. So I think I got better at that and just kind of feeling a little bit more free, but that's a hard thing to teach yourself when you've never done it. And also, you want to be prepared like we are for our shows on the radio and on TV. So certainly a different vibe, but the energy is like, you get so excited. It's like, okay, they're coming down to you in 3, 2, 1. You're like, yeah, let's go. Like, it's exciting. It's really, really fun.
You mentioned that Detroit broke the U.S. attendance record at that game. And then our pal Haley Salvian tweeted out today that Montreal game at the Bell Center sold out. Biggest NHL arena is now sold out for a PWHL game in under an hour. And you mentioned it's kind of been cool to see. I think I expected a lot of this at the beginning of the season, Ailish, when they were going to go to some of these different places and see some of those records broken. But I love to see that the momentum has continued into so many of these different venues, into these different cities, and, you know, the Pittsburgh experiment. They're going to go and play in Pittsburgh and all that. Like, the momentum really has continued. It wasn't just the initial excitement of day one. It's kind of proving that there is a long-term market for this, and there is an interest for people to go to these games on a regular basis.
Honestly, it gives me chills. I get to go to this one too. As a fan, I bought tickets on the pre-sale yesterday. Thankfully I did, because they sold out in less than an hour, and that's going to be another record. And I'm going to drive to Montreal, and it doesn't even feel like it's crazy because it's one of those things that you want to be there for, you want to experience. And setting all these attendance records, I think some were expected and some are just kind of unbelievable at the same time. And I think it's really important context that these are one-off events that just prove that people will travel, they will show up, and they will want to see these events. But I mean, there are some markets that I'll say are kind of struggling with attendance, and the easiest one is New York. I was talking to some of the girls around the PWHL when I was traveling, and they're struggling. Like, they had 800 people at their last game. So I think it's important to show like both sides of it, right? Obviously, I want to pump out the positive, and I think selling at the Bell Center is going to be unbelievable. But there are some places that are still struggling a bit. What I think it shows is that there's new markets to explore, and there's new buildings that the PWHL can take over. Pittsburgh was a perfect example of that's a really good market. They went there on Sunday and they didn't sell out like TPG Paints, but they sold, I don't know, 8,000 to 10,000 tickets. Like, that's still unbelievable. Our standards can't now be 21,000 every time that they're in an NHL arena, but it just gives context to if the, let's say the Toronto team were to move out of Mattamy, which is where they play now, which is about 3,000 seats, they're not going to sell out Scotiabank Arena every single night, but they'll sell out those one-off events or two times a year events. So it's about kind of like growing with the fan base. There's going to be a part where the Montreal fan base is so big that they need Bell Center 2-3 times a year. But there's so much excitement right now for coming to these games and knowing that they're a one-off, like these three that I am using example for, and the one at Bell Center.
Yeah.
I was not surprised that it would sell out because it's going to be one of those history-making moments. But if they did that three times next season, I don't know if all three would sell out. And that's okay. Like, I don't think we need to – it's sometimes good to give context. Like, we don't expect – that they're going to sell NHL arenas every single night. NHL teams don't even do that, right? So it's a really nice moment to celebrate the momentum, to celebrate the excitement of this season. I'm really curious to see how they deal with next year when, you know, it's not the inaugural this. It's not the first time this. It's not the very first home opener, et cetera. So that's when I think it'll be the hardest, and it'll be more on us as like fans and broadcasters and former players to keep that narrative front of mind, right? It's so easy for me to have conversations with my coworkers here when they're like, holy crap, you see that playoff push and you see that player that got suspended, but, you know, are we still having that conversation next November, right? And I think that's really important. But being able to be at these big celebratory games, I mean, it's really unbelievable. And I hope that we keep having these milestones that are harder to break. Like, how are you going to break that one next year, right?
Yeah.
There probably isn't a way to break that record if it's already a sellout at the largest arena. Like, you can't make a bigger arena. So how about you try to do it twice? So I think this is just a good important, I guess, like, moment of reflection. And I think the girls just are so proud to be putting on the performance on the ice that warrants that as well.
Are you got anything else planned on the TV side of things, or does it kind of come up closer to game time when you get told about those?
Well, so I actually asked in advance about this Bell Center one because obviously we know we're sharing the broadcast rights with all three Canadian partners. So that one's actually not on our network, which means I could go as a fan. So I'm good with it. But I do actually have a really fun thing coming up next week. I'm going to be going to Saskatchewan to cover Kraft Hockeyville. So,
nice.
You know, there's four cities that are remaining for the Kraft Hockeyville. One of them is in Wolseley, Saskatchewan, and I've been chosen to go be the broadcaster that's in that town. So I don't really know how it works yet. I just found out. I'm excited. I've never been to Sask. My brother did go to, he went to private school at Notre Dame in Saskatchewan. But I never went because I was a bit younger. My parents were like, no, you're younger. You stay closer to home. I was going to go to Notre Dame, but I've never been to Saskatchewan. I'm excited to check it out. I'm sure like this will be a super cool small town story of like why they need the money from Kraft Hockeyville. It'd be really awesome to be like boots on the ground there. There's three other cities. One was in a bit northern Ontario. One was in BC and one was in Alberta. But you know, I was kind of excited to go to some place I've never been. So that's something coming up on the broadcast next week. I think I'll be on Saturday, probably for Hockey Night in Canada. Maybe they do like a little tidbit and they throw to the city. So I don't know yet, but I'll know by next time we talk next week what the situation is. But I'm excited for that. So any Saskatchewan tidbits people can send my way.
Yeah, you got Cochrane on that list here in Alberta. That's really close to Calgary as well. But yeah, just looking up Wolseley, Saskatchewan, the population of 864 people.
And I can guarantee you this, they will all be there. Like,
yeah, for
there's
sure.
No doubt that I will meet all 850 or 64 of them. Like, it's just, that's the exciting part about this. Like, I've always liked Craft Hockeyville, and I love, like, the idea of small towns, and because I grew up in a small town. I didn't grow up in Toronto, and I think I just remember how important, like, your rink was. Like, I remember mine, Sutton Arena, right in Jackson's Point in Sutton, and, like, it is, population is similar to Wolseley, but that hockey arena means so much for your community. It means so much for, like, your upbringing. And so I'm excited to see, you know, this town and what makes them special and what they would do with this opportunity. And I mean, I hope they win. I'm biased now. I want them to be the winners, but I'm sure they'll make the right decision, but it'll be cool. So I'm looking forward to that. Lots of fun things on the horizon.
That's cool. We'll have to look out for you at that. It sounds like a really fun opportunity. Hockeyville always doing such a great job with these small towns around Canada. And I can't believe that. I think this is the 19th. 18 years they've been doing it now. Like, it feels like forever that they've been doing this. And, cool that you're going to be a part of that on the weekend. I did want to ask you a couple NHL questions. I know you guys got the Leafs and the Capitals tonight. And then last night you guys had the Flyers game. Tried to make a comeback in the third. Didn't quite happen. But I actually want to ask you about the Flyers side of things. You know, Torts, Bench, and Couturier had a lot of people raising their eyebrows. And I know Torts is Torts, and he's always that. You know, everybody's the same to him, and he's going to treat everybody equally. But I'm curious, as a former player, like, how you feel that would go over in a locker room. Because I think from a broadcast perspective, and, you know, from the, you know, fleeting sporting moments that I've had going back to high school sports, the captain isn't necessarily the same as everybody. And I just wonder how that resonates for a guy that was just named captain a month ago and is one of those long-time Flyers in that organization, and just how I get Philly got the win, but I just can't wonder if there's more long-term ramifications for doing something like that if you're Torts.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. Like, I don't know Torts. All I know is of Torts in the media, and I find that sometimes it's pretty easy to draw a parallel of, like, him wanting to be the talking point, or like the main character, as the TikTokers are saying. Like, I don't see the reason to do something like that to, as you mentioned, your captain. I mean, he's like a 13-year vet of the Flyers. It was the first healthy scratch in his career, Like, I was shocked that that was something that Torts thought this team needed. Obviously, we're not in the locker room. We don't know, but everything you hear about Sean Couturier is positive. You know, he's chosen to be a leader for a reason. I think it can go both ways. Like, they won the game. Yeah, I mean, the Leafs hit like 8 posts, but whatever. The Flyers are in a really important spot right now in their standings. And I think possibly, if I galaxy brain it, Torts is the guy that's like, I'm going to ruffle feathers and I'm going to show people that there's no complacency. There's no taking your foot off the gas. I don't care who you are. I'll scratch you. I don't care. I'll stand on the bench when I'm getting told to go and I'm going to get suspended $50,000 in 2 games, but I don't care. Like, he does. I'll say one thing about him. He's consistent. This won't be the last time that he benches a player or doesn't start a goaltender or does something that, like, pisses people off. But he's really done something with this Flyers team. And I mean, the end result is winning and winning and winning. And that's what you do as a head coach. But I mean, I can't imagine enjoying an experience like that. I've had hard ass coaches, but, like, in the end, they treat you like humans. Like, they know that this is also, I've never played at the NHL level, but they know that, you know, you're doing this because it's a game and it's fun. And you also, I wasn't making, you know, $18 million, but I wonder how that goes, as you mentioned, with the other part of the leadership group, how Sean Couturier felt about it. But that's Torts, you know? It would be really shocking if Sheldon Keefe scratched John Tavares tonight. We would be like, what the hell is going on? But when it's Torts, I guess you just kind of shake your head and say, that's the way that guy is. And if it brings success and they make the playoffs, maybe we look back at it as a turning point. But like, if I was, I've been a captain before. You're chosen to be an emotional leader, a vocal leader, but also lead by example. And if he wasn't doing those things, then he should be held to the same standard as, you know, the rookie on the fourth line. I'm not close enough to the Flyers to know why, just because he's underperforming, he's not putting up points. But we'll see. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, watch, the Flyers go, like, they go on this crazy run, and we think, wow, John Tortorella is the best coach in the NHL, and everyone needs to be a bit more hard-ass. Like, it's very polarizing. We've had this discussion in the locker room. Yeah, I wish. We've had that discussion here in the office for the last day, and I think everyone's just kind of surprised, but it's Torts is the way that we have concluded our discussions.
Yeah. And on the Leafs side of things, I talked to Justin about this the other day there, and what a weird spot for them to be in. Like, you can't really fall down the standings, and you can't really go up the standings, so you just sit and wait for whoever finishes second between Florida and Boston, and neither one of those sound like a lot of fun if you're Toronto. And it's just like, what do you, I guess if you're Sheldon Keefe, you try to keep your foot on the gas as much as possible, but it's kind of a weird spot they're in, knowing they can't really go anywhere unless something disastrous happens around them.
Yeah, this is the worst part of hockey in the NHL, I think, this stretch, where you know you're probably in a playoff spot. You know you're probably playing this team or this team. And I think it's tough for the Maple Leafs to not start to get bad habits or to play 80%, because really they don't need to play 100% every night. And I think that that's been a problem every single time we've headed into the playoffs here in Toronto to cover this team. They already known what they've been up to for last month, right? And that last month, think about what happened with the Panthers last year. They were clawing literally and figuratively their lives into the playoffs, and they peaked at the right time and they found their way in the Stanley Cup final. The Leafs every year have been pretty like complacent. They've been pretty set. They know what's up. Like, they just go about their life. Hey, let's not get injured. Let's figure out our goalie tandem. And, you know, maybe we chase a couple goal records or assist records, but that hasn't worked. Like, that's not the recipe for success, but that's the way the playoffs are. And the Leafs are kind of not within striking distance of too much at this point. So I worry as a coach how hard it is to keep the team motivated and to keep them like fired up every single game when, you know, they played the Flyers last night, they play the Capitals tonight, you know, it's Tuesday and a Wednesday, it's kind of blah. But then Saturday night, they got the Oilers, Hockey Night in Canada at home. So you can't be like taking games off and then turning it back on Saturday night. So it's a tough stretch of hockey, and you hope for good health and, you know, good habits. And so that's what we'll be looking for tonight when we see the Leafs play the Capitals. And obviously Ovi and Matthews going head-to-head is always a fun one with their goal-scoring record. So that's kind of the biggest storylines going into it. But it's hard for them, I'm sure, to get up for a game where, you know, you're kind of like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, and the tough thing for the Leafs is like, who do you really want? I asked Justin that. I'm like, there's no good option here. Boston, yeah, okay, they're not Boston from last year, but that's a scar I don't know that you really want to open up again.
No.
And same with Florida, right? You kind of went down that last year, and this team's probably better than Florida was last year. So you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I don't know that I – do you have a favorite? Like, right now, which one of those teams would you rather play if you're Toronto?
I would like to play the Boston Bruins, as crazy as that sounds. I think you got to take down like your playoff demons. You got to play that team, even though they've had Toronto's number for like the last 8 games. I think the Leafs haven't won.
Yeah.
I look at the way the Florida Panthers play hockey, and I don't think that the Leafs match up in any sense against them. I think the Leafs can give Boston a bit of a push. I look at Florida and they look scary. They look mean. They look like the worst playoff performer. They look like they're made for playoff hockey. I think the Leafs and Bruins feel a bit closer in terms of like that one being probably 7 games. In the end, you could probably win it. But that's also changed like 5 times this year. But if I had to make the call today, I'd say go through the Bruins. Feel that flame. Beat that team. Wouldn't that be something big for this like organization, and then see where that takes you.
Hockey Night, Craft Hockeyville this weekend or next weekend? Sorry.
Next weekend.
Next weekend. Okay, so we'll chat with you before you head out to
details on Wolseley.
Perfect. Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Have to bring us your research on Wolseley, Saskatchewan, and everything that you know about it for next week, okay?
I will.
Thanks, Ailish. Always appreciate the time. Thanks for the chat. See ya.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Ailish Forfar joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. She's the host of the Fan Pregame Show on Sportsnet. She'll be on in just a little bit to get you set for the Capitals and the Maple Leafs. That's a 5:30 puck drop on Sportsnet on Wednesday night. Take a break. Come back on the other side. Another edition of Wild Card Wednesday. Shannon Cameron ready to go and spin the wheel. We'll do that when we come back on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, closing out hour two on this Wednesday. Guess the snow is back. That's cool.
Yeah.
Boo.
All right. We had one nice day. It was so cool.
We had a couple.
Maybe one good one.
Better than this.
Yeah.
Stupid country.
Breaking news. We live in Calgary, Alberta, and this happens every year.
Damn liberals.
Yeah.
It's the leftists doing all this.
You got them.
Global warming and everything.
It's not real. I got to stop.
Elon Musk in the satellites.
Oh, this is Jeff Bezos' fault.
So
what are we doing?
I don't know. So let's talk about the snow for a second, and I took it too far. That's Shan Vergie, Cam Hughes, and they're my outstanding producers on the program on this Wednesday. Just finished up our weekly chat with Ailish Forfar, host of the Fan Pregame Show on Sportsnet. That'll be up shortly on the Hour 2 podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Did want to remind you, Beer League broadcast coming up on Friday. Don't want to miss it.
No.
The Arctic Monkeys, the Dream Team, it's going down to the Flames Community Arena. They're getting decked out in custom jerseys thanks to our friends at Tuxedo Source for Sports. And we're going to go to Wild Rose for an after party. Serving up premium craft beer to Albertans since 1996. Whether you're looking for a finely tuned craft lager or a robust porter, they've got something for everyone. Find them around Alberta and at their tap room in the Curry Barracks. If you want to come down to Flames Community Arena, meet some of your favorite Sportsnet personalities, you can do so. Action starts at 6:30. We're going to have concert tickets to give away. We've got a 50-50 going to support kids' sport. And our pals doing great work here in the city of Calgary. You can watch the game live. We're going to have a bunch going on. Kron is going to be there. Steinberg and the rest of the morning show are going to get there as well. We're just going to have a good time on Friday. We're really looking forward to our Beer League broadcast up on Friday, March 22nd at Flames Community Arenas. If you're looking for full contest details or just want more on the event, head to sportsnet.ca/960. One thing left to do on a Wednesday, gentlemen. Let's get weird with another edition of Wild Card Wednesday.
Get ready to know your afternoon show. It's time for Wild Card Wednesday.
Woo!
Right. Yeah.
Do you know how it works? We each spin the wheel and ask the group a question. Seven categories to go through. Food, music, movies, Flames, sports, wild card, and personal life. Each of us going to take a turn spinning the wheel. We'd love to get you involved as well if you're listening in live. 960-960. Cam, you're back from holiday. Why don't you kick things off on this Wednesday?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Food!
I like it.
Better than Shan getting this question.
Yep. What?
I love soup.
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Growing up, you're exposed to a lot of different foods. Some of them you like, some of them you don't. And most of the time, for the foods you don't like, you understand why. It's the taste, it's the texture, something throws you off. But what one food, ingredient, whatever, do you just have an unexplainable distaste for? It should work. You should like it, but you just can't do it.
No.
What's a food that we don't like?
Like, you should like it.
Popular food that we don't like?
Every other factor says you should like it, but it just does not hit for you.
I have mine.
I'll kick it off because I did spin it. I feel like I should like peppers, bell peppers, red, green, yellow, the like. You know, I like my veggies. They're crispy. They should be good. They should be delicious. Excuse me.
They should be what?
You can tell I haven't been on air in like a week. I can't do it. Something with red peppers, especially, I cannot do.
That's wrong.
I just can't do it. And I should like them because everything about it screams, yes, I should like peppers, but I just can't do it.
My favorite thing to do is take a pepper and just eat it like an apple.
I've never done that, but I would do it.
Oh, I love like red peppers, orange peppers, yellow, whatever. Green peppers suck, first of all. The rest of them are great. So I'll take a red pepper and eat it like an apple.
Not any different to me.
I don't know how you... But I guess Cam is right. That should be something he should like.
I have mine.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Mushrooms can beat it.
Absolutely. Yes! Thank you.
Okay, wait.
I hate mushrooms. I'm sorry. I don't...
Yeah.
There's no form of cream of mushroom soup. Gross.
Well, just soup in general.
Like, I don't want to order a steak sandwich. I don't want a bunch of grilled mushrooms on it. You want to put some grilled onions on there? Sure. I'm all for that. But just, I have no, it's a fungus. I have no need, want for any sort of mushroom in my life. I could go the rest of my life without a mushroom flavor, and I would be happy. And people love mushrooms. Mushrooms are a very popular staple in chilies and soups. Not for me.
I'm for the most part going to go the same direction. My least favorite food on this planet, period, is cooked mushrooms. The thing is, I could eat raw mushrooms by the pound.
What in the world?
Like, by the pound. Raw mushrooms, incredible. Cooked mushrooms, full on disgusting. Like, I'm going to say I'm not a picky eater. I still had people actually hating on me for soup, like, last week. I'm not a picky eater. I cannot eat anything with cooked mushrooms unless it's, like let's say it's a fancy dinner. Can't be that guy that picks the mushrooms up. Like, I'm going to meet someone's parents for the first time. I'm not going to take the mushrooms out. Other than that, shamelessly, I'll take them out.
Yeah, like a Supreme Pizza, no mushrooms.
Whack.
Not happening.
Yeah.
Even at Edo. Sukiyaki beef, no mushroom.
Nope.
Don't throw them in there. I'm not going to eat them. I will pick them out. I have no use for them. They have a weird texture.
I'm a big texture guy. That's the big problem.
They don't add anything for me. They're just a total pass.
Yeah.
And I couldn't care less if I ever saw another mushroom in my life.
Classic Canadian pizza. It's got mushrooms on it. No, thank you.
No, then just order something else. No reason to put myself through that hell.
Do people not eat raw mushrooms? Is this not a thing?
Well, I mean, it's a very strange thing to say that you eat pounds of raw mushrooms.
Okay, I don't actually eat pounds. I'm saying, like, I like them. It's an exaggeration.
Kilograms of them.
Yeah, it's a bit strange to say anything that you're like, yeah, I eat them raw, but I don't eat the cooked version of it. Like, what else does that apply to?
Wow. I don't know. That's a good
question. Some people who will not eat.
I think that's probably, like, the weirdest thing.
I know some people who will not eat a fried onion, but you get a raw onion and it's delectable. But the moment you fry it, no, won't do it.
That's weird.
Shan's a weird dude.
Weird as Shan. Is Shan the same dude? Shan the same with onions?
No, I like my onions. First of all, this one, like an apple. What's wrong with you? A pepper? What's the seeds are all in the middle. I'm not going to eat the middle, so I just eat the outside.
It is a strange way to eat a pepper.
That is,
I know it's, but I don't know. I don't have to go through all the time to cut it up. I'm going to eat it anyways. It all looks the same
in
my stomach.
How long is it going to take you to cut it up? It doesn't take that long.
But I don't have to cut it up at all. It all looks the same in my stomach. Who cares?
Yeah, but people have to watch you. That's the problem.
No, they don't. You don't have to watch me eat.
This text says bubblegum ice cream.
Oh.
That is valid. That is a weird thing.
I like bubblegum ice cream. I'm not going to lie.
I like this one. Any sort of squash can absolutely pound sand. Such a waste of a vegetable.
It's harsh on
squash,
but he's not wrong.
I like squash.
No, he's
squash
right.
is good.
I mean, yeah, but could you live without squash? Probably.
100%.
You know?
I'd prefer to live without squash.
Whoa.
So, you know, Mike in Calgary says egg / cheese.
Huh?
Like both or together?
I don't know. But I can relate to the egg one because I can't stand egg yolks.
Oh no! See that? No,
I get.
Wrong.
See, I get that. I hear you.
I could eat egg whites, no problem. But no. Egg yolks.
Egg yolk is the best.
No.
Yeah. 100%.
No.
Eggs. I can understand why eggs are a weird thing for people. I get that. They don't look that appetizing.
And the texture thing that you just agreed with me.
Yeah. No, I can't eat an egg like by itself unless it's scrambled.
My pal Mitch B says watermelon. Popular, looks delicious, flavor fine, but the texture absolutely ruins it for me.
No.
Mitch, I respect that you had the courage to say that, but that is wrong. Like watermelon, watermelon is incredible. Now, what I will say, a bad watermelon, that's a problem.
It's also a messy food, too. Like,
yeah.
You're dripping down your chin.
I guess, but it's just like.
Look like Shan eating a pepper. Weirdo.
The problem is you have to probably have a plate with you because the seeds do start. Like once you start opening up the pepper, the seeds start falling out.
What else on the text line, Shan?
What do we got? Raw tomato. Loves raw tomatoes. Eats them like apples. Cooked tomatoes can take a hike. Okay.
Really?
I see. Tomatoes are another one that texture-wise, they're not great. I'll struggle with tomatoes, but it's interesting.
Tomatoes are a tough sell.
Cooked cabbage? Nope. Raw is okay in coleslaw.
Yep. Can't agree with that as a guy that loves cabbage rolls.
Here's a good one. Mayo is the devil's condiment.
A lot of people hate mayo.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I've come to learn that over the years. A lot of people hate mayo. As a condiment, it is... Like the mayo fry thing, like that's a no for me. Like I'll have mayo on a sandwich, but I won't dip my fries or something in mayo. Like that's a level too far.
Okay, I get that.
Another one. You guys sound like kids. Does your mom still cut your meat for you?
Oh, boo-hoo.
I'm allowed to not like food.
Oh, I'm sorry. 3553, I'm so sorry. You can't have any fun. That's too bad. Oh. And no, my mom doesn't still cut my meat for you. My dad does.
My mom might. Maybe.
Cam doesn't know what that's like.
Wow.
Shan, why don't you spin the wheel next?
I'd love to. I'm going to hit that right now.
Movies!
Worst category Shan can get.
All the movies Shan has seen.
Kate, I've seen 300...
Here's a question about a movie from 2005.
I've seen 372 movies. It's in my letterbox, okay?
Yeah, oh, okay. Sure.
No, I actually have. That's not a lie.
You can't prove that you actually watched it.
I guess not, but... Anyways, I'm going to move on.
Okay.
This one, I gotta tiptoe around a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Favorite line from a movie.
Oh.
Now, my problem is that most of my favorite lines from movies come from the movie Dictator.
Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah. Like, if you don't watch that with your kids, and if you want to have brain cells spewing out of your ears, watch that movie.
You know what? I don't know how many people have seen The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen because it is one of those stupid humor movies.
Yes.
But I have a favorite from that movie that I can think of right now, and it's that he starts changing words to Aladdin.
Dude.
So everything means Aladdin.
That's so good.
I know.
And the guy's in the doctor's office, and he goes, "We got your test results back. Would you like to know the results?" And he goes, "Yeah, you have tested Aladdin." And he kind of looks at the guy, and he goes, and he smiles, and then he goes, because negative and positive both mean Aladdin.
That's exactly what I was going to say. My favorite line from a movie is that, where he goes, he's in the doctor's office, he goes, "I can give you the Aladdin news or the Aladdin news." He's like, "You are Aladdin." He's like, oh. That's my favorite. I mean, that whole movie is
so
ridiculous.
Oh, it's so offensive.
It is.
Oh my
it is,
God.
It is terrible. But I mean, that's you stole it. Like that is my favorite line from a movie. I see that scene. No matter how many times I see it, I will die laughing.
You want the Aladdin news or the Aladdin news?
Give me the Aladdin news. I think that movie starts off where he's in a track meet and it starts and he just shoots people in the leg.
Yeah, he's got the starting gun.
They're banned from the Olympics. So he hosts his own. And he wins every event, and someone runs in front of him in the track meet, and he starts shooting him in the knees.
That movie is incredible. It's terrible. It's awesome. It's awful. It's everything. It's the best.
See, now there's a tough one here for me because there are great movie lines that'll always stick with me, And then there's great quotable movie lines that you go back to forever. Yeah. And that's where it's tough, right? Is because there are, you know, this is Sparta's one of the most kick-ass lines of all time. But you're right. One of my most quoted movies, you know, like Superbad.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
You know, stuff like that. I almost said something else. But, you know, those are the ones that I think I quote more. Right? That as I think about as my favorite movie lines. But there are so many great ones.
Yeah.
Cam, do you have one?
Yeah. So I finally watched the Dune movies. Dune 1 and 2. And I did them in the same day. And I will keep it as spoiler-free as I can, but in part two, where Paul is in the room with all the followers, and he goes on about that speech of, nobody here can stand against me, that scene in its entirety, front to back, I have on repeat in my brain, and it will probably be the reason I go see that movie two or three more times in IMAX before it gets out of theaters. That scene gave me chills. It was so good.
It's a good one. All I can think about from that movie is Lisa Nalgaib.
Yeah, I see that everywhere. I haven't seen the movie. It is everywhere. I don't get it, and I'm happy to stay oblivious, but it's getting ridiculous.
People started like throwing it at Lewis Hamilton. He's like walking out of his hotel, and they start yelling Lisa Nalgaib at him. It's so funny.
It's way too many memes coming from just that one. But yeah, that's a pretty good one. Text line, Shan, any good ones coming in from people's favorite movie quotes?
I'm going to once again tiptoe here. This one just says, that pretty much guarantees I'll never see The Dictator if Aladdin is the funniest part.
If you haven't seen it, we sound like a bunch of idiots who, like, it doesn't make any sense. In the context of the movie, I can't sell it to you much better than that. Just know that it's worth your time.
Yeah, this one, Talladega Nights. I wake every morning and piss excellence. That is incredible.
If you're not first, you're last is also a tremendous one from that movie.
Oh yeah.
There's a ton from Borat too that you probably can't.
I don't. Just a flesh wound. What's that from? That's from Ethan and High River. I don't.
I'm gonna have to get you to Google that one.
Okay.
Sorry. Monty Python, man.
This text says, y'all should make Shan do a movie essay or something.
I like that.
I've seen enough movies. I just...
yeah. Every Friday, Shan, tell us about the movie you just watched.
I don't know, man. Because it's becoming a thing where I just realized that all of you guys watch movies. I come to work. Like,
not everybody. I mean, most people watch.
No, I'm saying, but here, and you guys talk about Dune 2 all the time. I didn't know Dune 1 was a thing.
That's crazy.
But I don't watch movies. I don't know.
Shan, we're going to go watch Dune 1 and Dune 2.
This is a tremendous movie quote.
One.
Burley?
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Okay, yep. Right? Yep.
Right?
That is a good one.
Yeah.
That's one that works.
Anchorman is awesome. I mean, there's so many from Anchorman that you could pull.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works. Every time.
That doesn't make sense.
I love that.
All right. Last up to spin the wheel. Let's hit it, Cam.
Music.
Ooh. Music.
What you got, Logo?
Name a viral music hit, like a single.
Mm-hmm.
That's hit over the last couple of years that you could never get on board with. And I mean in the vein of like Beyonce and Texas Hold'em has kind of gone crazy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Well, I need that viral song of the year that's gotten played way too much over the last couple of years.
Good question.
That you were not on board with. You hated it from the beginning and you just can't stand hearing it. And that's, you know, Shan, you might answer the Beyonce one, but
no, I won't. That one's weird.
That's the kind of category I'm throwing it in.
I'm picking up what you're putting down here.
Okay. Oh, I got to think about one. That's a tough one. When I forget when it was. It was like early 2010s. That "What Does the Fox Say" song.
Oh, that was a stupid song.
Oh my! Like,
yeah, that was. I didn't.
That
have
was
fun
dumb
with that.
When it came out. And if I hear it now, I just get like visibly angry.
Shannon's got a weird smile on his face.
Yeah, dude, honestly, that was awesome. That was fun. That came out like end of middle school for me. And that song was, I mean, we're all doing it. But if it played now, I wouldn't go, oh, turn this off. It'd be, I would. Kind of like,
I hate
this. I'm not
song.
Saying I listen to it to like calm down or anything. It's not, I don't listen to it on my free time, but that's, I like that.
I feel like it might be.
On the way home in the drive, you just turn it on.
All right.
Windows down.
You got me.
Do you have one, Shan?
I'm working this out here. Logan, you give yours here?
I mean, Old Town Road.
No, that was good, too.
It was good, though.
It was for a bit, but it lost me. I couldn't handle it anymore. I was on board for at the beginning of it. I swear I was, but by the end of it, I couldn't stand it. And
really?
Now I can't. I can't hear it anymore. Like, if I hear it, I'm like, no, pass. I've heard it 10 billion times, and it was fun for a small period of time, but now it's just like, I don't know. I've had enough of it.
Okay. Really? I mean, this is an easy pull, and I think we've talked about this before. When Shake It Off came out, that almost ruined my life. Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. It didn't help that the place that I worked played it at least once a day. At least once a day. I was there for 4 years. But that song, I don't like it. It might be a little bit catchy, but it's catchy in the worst way. Does that make sense? That song, I would be more than happy if I never heard it again.
I feel like that song's almost gotten better with time, though, you know? Because it's gotten so, I don't know, it's gotten that level of iconic. Everyone knows it. You can get a bunch of people in the room and they'll all know the lyrics to it. They'll all sing along to it. You can have a good time with it. I feel like it's gotten a little better with age.
Feels like a song that's made for 12-year-olds.
I mean, it is.
And What the Fox Say is okay, it?
Listen, that's different.
How is that different?
Because that one was made to be stupid.
Was it?
And it was catchy.
Was it made to be stupid?
For
or?
Sure. You can't argue that that song was to be serious. There's no way.
Ask them. I don't know.
I'll reach out to them. Let's have them on the show.
I couldn't agree with this one more. Gangnam Style.
No. See? Ah. No! Gangnam Style was fun, too.
Even that guy's sick of doing that song.
Oh, yeah, because he's actually super talented. He's just, he is so famous.
In Korea.
Yeah, exactly. In North America, everyone would just know him for Gangnam Style. That's it.
Yeah.
So, if he ever comes here, that's all they care about.
Well, it's the same with Old Town Road, though. Like, I mean, Lil Nas X has some hits, but not anything close to what that one song was.
That was pretty much the start of, like, social media making music viral. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Gangnam Style?
No, Old Town Road.
Yeah, and that's what I meant with the question was, like, there's good songs that come out every year that are popular, but there's always that one.
Yeah.
It feels like every year that just goes viral for whatever reason, either whether it's good or not, it's just gone crazy because it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce's is this year, and Shan, you can clearly tell that you don't like that one.
It's weird. Like, I'm not a country fan myself. I know I'm in the wrong place to be saying that, but that song is just, it's trying, it's someone that's trying to be country that isn't, and I don't know. It's just, it's not for me. It might be good. I don't know. It's getting played at every single Flames game, though.
And Wranglers games.
And Wranglers.
Don't come to Wranglers
games. Who's playing
games
that sense at the Wranglers games?
Who could be doing this?
I wonder who's doing that.
Who would have control over something like that?
I don't know.
Weird.
Some weirdo.
Yeah. All right, well.
Man Cam.
Harlem Shake is another one.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Guys, that's a good one.
F that song.
No.
Yes.
That was fun, too. I think you hate
Stop.
Fun.
No.
Logan hates fun.
You look at the songs that you're up for. You're like, Gangnam Style, yes. What Does This Fox Say? And Harlem Shake?
Yeah, I don't listen to those if I'm trying to, like, get
what's
in the
stupid
zone.
What was that stupid Panda song?
Yeah, Panda, oh, Panda, Panda, Panda. Yeah. Designer.
Yeah, no, like, none of that. Stop that.
That was
enough.
A weird one.
That's enough of that. That's enough of this program. We got to get out of here.
Agreed.
There's another edition of Wild Card Wednesday. Thanks, fellas. Thanks to the text line at 960-960 for playing along. Except for that one guy who wasn't a lot of fun.
No. How dare we have fun?
Don't have any fun on
if
this.
If you want to listen
station
to sports, listen to the other 23 and a half hours of this station.
Have your mom do your feet. So, come on. It's a Wednesday. It's snowing out. Have some fun. Life's a lot better that way. I can tell you that much.
Yep.
Thanks to David Amber, Ailish Forfar for joining us earlier. If you missed anything, check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. We're back for a Thursday edition of the program. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Drive safe out there. Back tomorrow with another edition of Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.